Hey guys, welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek, and today we're going to continue our discussion on resiliency. Today we're going to be diving in to see the critical component of resiliency is actually identity, and how if we have a clear identity of who we are, who God made us to be, that we can actually navigate really hard things and come out better on the other side. So grab your Bible, grab your notes. Hey, Jason, I'm going to have you guys go back into that chorus. Actually, a second. I don't know. I've just been asking the Lord what's going on in the room. And I couldn't really put my finger on it. And still just figuring it out. Can we just reflect just for just a few minutes here, just on the goodness of God? So right now, just think about like a time in your life where you recognize the hand of God, the goodness of God. And let's just take a moment and let's adore him and let's give him gratitude and thanksgiving for the goodness that he is good, he does good. And I just feel like some people in the room, you just need to maybe just be reminded of his goodness today. Maybe what's going on doesn't seem good. Maybe what's going on, it isn't good, but for whatever reason, the Lord is just saying, no, I want to lean into this because you don't believe me. So just take a moment and let's just ask the Holy Spirit, who's a great teacher, he's our God, to just remind us and to show us, even in our past or even in our present, where the goodness of God is, how we've seen God's goodness. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so this is true for all followers of Jesus, that goodness follows us. So as we're thinking about the ways that God has been good, can we just all over the room just give a thanksgiving? Just you tell the Lord. I think it's important today, and I don't always do this, but can you out loud, don't worry about anybody around you, can you just put thanksgiving on your lips? Just begin to thank the Lord all over the room for who he is, for what he's done. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy. It's new every morning. Yeah, let's just continue to press into that. Just continue to thank him for the goodness that you've seen in your kids and your family, your finances and your health, the fact that you're here today. Maybe even just restore the joy of our salvation, Lord, that you're good, that you saw us. And just can we just all just even rest in the fact that the scripture tells us when we were opposed to God, enemies of God, that he loved us. How good is a God is that? Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We rest in your goodness today. We trust in your goodness today. And as we sing this chorus again, man, I just was asking the Lord, what is going on? It just felt different. As I walked in this morning, just something was different. And I'm always just trying to be aware of, Lord, what is that? What's going on in the room? What's going on in the unseen? And as I'm just trying to discern, as we were praying and singing down here, it just felt like, the Lord wanted to just break off some depression in the room, anxiety. And so we're going to sing this. And as we're singing, if that's you, just I want you to sing of the goodness of God. And even in the place where you feel depressed, in the face where you have anxiety, just in the face of that. And this is called spiritual warfare. This is called anchored in truth in the midst of things I don't understand. This is what faith is. It's what I can't see yet. But in my mind, with my faith, I see it. And so can we just lead back into that song, and we're just going to just rest with the Lord as we just revel in his goodness this morning as a community. Lord, you're good. We rest in you today. You're so, so good, Lord.
The goodness of God.
Trust in your goodness. Man, just want to give space for this morning. If you feel like you've been running from the Lord today, we've all been there. Different times in our life, we feel like we're running from what God has said. Sometimes we're running from truth. And so I just feel like the Lord just is inviting some of us in the room just to stop running and to just to trust him again, or maybe for the first time. And so let's just take a posture of prayer. If that's you, I just want you to take a step of faith and just put your hand up and say, I want to stop running today. I want to stop running from the Lord today. And I just want to pray a blessing over you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Lord, we honor the faith in the room. I thank you that you're a God that runs after us. Thank you that you don't get tired, that you don't get worn out. You continue to run. And so sometimes we feel like we can outrun you, or maybe we put it in this way, we can outsin you, but that's actually not possible. Your love never stops. You're the hound of heaven. You keep coming, you keep coming, you keep coming. And so today, Lord, we yield to you. We say we're gonna stop running, and right now we're just saying that we trust you, we trust in your goodness, and we say yes to you. So if that's you today, and you say, let's tell the Lord the truth. Just say, Lord, I'm tired of running. I'm worn out. I wanna rest with you. I wanna know your love. I wanna know you. So Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this community, this gathering here, that you're here in our midst. I thank you that you're so good. We can't even put into words how good you are. And so we thank you for it. For the ways we know and the ways we don't know. We trust you. We trust you. We yield to you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Continue to lead us as we open up the scriptures. Lead us into truth, because we know when we're abiding in your truth, we will be set free. And I want to be more free today. I want our community to be set free at a level that they haven't experienced in the past. And so, Lord, may the Spirit of truth come and lead us into freedom today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you guys for leading us this morning. Oh, man. Man. The goodness of God. Oh. Man. As you heard last week, Jamie shared some of the things that God is doing in our community. And I know internally and our staff and a lot of our leaders are very present and aware of that. But I also know we've got a lot of people that are either guests or people that are coming on Sunday mornings that you may not hear all of these things. And so I just want to share a couple things that are really neat as part of this community, whether you're online watching or you're here in the room with us in the Tri-Cities. One of the things that God has given us access to and invited us into is that we would give away what he's been giving us. And that goes way beyond financial. I think that's a great way, right? That's why we give tithes and offerings. That's why we give back to the Lord so that we can see his kingdom come in lots of ways. But as a community, one of the things that we've recognized is that God is doing some really neat things in our midst. And what we're finding out is that there are people across the country that are very interested in what God is doing here. I hope you know that. Like, sometimes we just show up and we have like our picture of things. But I just want you to know what God is doing in our region, but specifically for a moment, what he's doing in our church. There's a lot of people that are very interested in it across the country. And so we started this thing called the CF Export. And every couple months, we open up a time where people can sign up and people from anywhere in the country can come and spend 3 or 4 days in our community, and where we teach, where we have prayer times, where we have prayer rooms, where they experience what God is doing here. And so last weekend, we had, I think it was, 22-ish people that came from all over the country, from California, all the way up in Delaware, Georgia, Philadelphia. There was a crew there from Houston. Actually, there was a couple from Houston. Various groups, from church groups to actually really cool, I won't give a lot of the information, but a group that works with professional athletes in the sporting world. They minister to professional athletes, and so they had a group of 10 people that came, and we spent 4 days just walking, or 3 days walking them through some of the things that God is doing here. And I just want to encourage you that God is doing way more than we can even realize. Man, way more on an individual life, but also in a community life, right? And I say that because, this is interesting, we've got people that would come from California, Arizona, Delaware, just to get some of the teaching that's going on in this house. And I want to encourage you that teaching that they're coming, some of them 1,000 miles for, is available all the time to you guys. Right? So the vision of Christ Fellowship, especially if you're new, you need to hear me say this. The vision of Christ Fellowship is to equip and empower individuals to be everything that God designed them to be. So equip and empower to what? Be who we are. And so a huge part of our equipping is our equipped ministry. And so we call the equipped ministry. And Kim leads that. Jamie Williams helps with that in incredible ways. And it really is giving space for us as a community to not only get information, but as we receive information, truth, to encounter God. And as we have information, encounter with God, that leads to revelation, and revelation leads to transformation, which is why we're here, right? I'm a really bad pastor at just trying to get people in a seat and feel good about themselves. It's not why I'm called here. I burn to see individuals, organizations, communities, cities, nations, and the world see transformation. That's what I long for. And that is, at a church, what we're after. And one of the key ways that we do that is through our equipped ministry. We have different classes, different ways for people to experience truth, experience God, and then to be like, wow, I'm gonna trust you, and through that be transformed. And so I want to encourage you. We've had, I don't know, about 1,000 or so people probably go through over the last couple years, some of our classes. But if you have not been through a class, man, I'm telling you, you are missing out on a core part of our church. If this is your church home, like I'm telling you, you don't want to miss out and say, well, I get that, I got that, that's another Bible study. No, it's not. And I know we call it a class, but it's not like you don't have to be a super, super academic person, because I wouldn't go if it was that, right? Like, I want to get truth, but I also want to encounter with the Lord, right? And so it's not just you're hearing somebody talk from the front, it's actually experiencing the truth and then learning how to live it out, which is what it means to follow Jesus, by the way. Not just attaining truth and information, but how do we flesh it out? And so I want to encourage you to check out the website. We do have one that's coming up, and this pertains to the message that I'm preaching today. Can you guys throw that slide up there, the I Know? Yeah, so this is the next one that's available that's coming up. And this one's nice because it's only two. It's two nights. It's May 8th and May 15th. So if you've never taken an equip class, this is a great way to start kind of to tiptoe into the waters. And this class is really about identity, understanding who we are. Vision, equip, empower to be. That be is our identity. And so if you're like, man, I don't really know who I am, or if somebody says who you are and you lead with your vocation, you probably don't know who you are. Did y'all hear me? If somebody says, who are you? And you tell them what you do for a living, you don't really know who you are. And so this class right here is an amazing two nights. It's only two nights. The 8th and the 15th, and it would be, I think, really powerful for you to have a clear understanding of who you are. That's what we're going to talk about today. Because today we're going to continue talking about resiliency, what it means to be resilient, to grow in resiliency. And so on Easter, we began this series where we talked about hope, that if we want to go through hard things, if we want to navigate challenges and struggles and actually get back to even or even improve from that, that we have to have a hope. Then I talked about community. It's why the church is so beautiful, that we can come around one another, encourage, exhort, keep one another accountable to who God's called us to be. It's why small groups are so important, not just coming on a Sunday morning. It's why equip classes are helpful, because there's community there. And then last week, Winship talked about the power of resiliency in outreach. And he said the number count for the Holy Spirit is 1, 2, 3, what?
10.
Wow, y'all were listening. Wow, that's impressive, right? 1, 2, 3, 10, in the power and necessity of the Holy Spirit to be a resilient person, right? And so today, I want to continue talking about resiliency, what it looks like to go against hard times, to navigate hard things. And today, I want to talk about identity, though, the power of identity in that. So I'm going to start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Today, what I thought we would do is we would look at the Apostle Paul and his life story a little bit, and check out how he operated with such resiliency. Now, so we're all on the same page. I know many of you are familiar with Paul, but we probably have some people that are like, I don't really know Paul. Paul, his original name was Saul, and he was a zealous, very fiery Jewish man who loved the law, and he loved everything about his heritage. And so when Jesus came on the scene, and when Jesus' followers were proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah, they were the people of the way, Saul, who became Paul, Saul was very angry, and he made it his mission to either put Jesus' followers in prison or have them killed, okay? So he actually approved of followers of Jesus being killed, all right? This is who we have here. And then he had this encounter with Jesus, which how many of you know it takes one encounter with Jesus to change everything? One encounter with Jesus on a road, wasn't expecting it, wasn't singing worship music, didn't have the candles lit, didn't have all that stuff. One encounter with Jesus on the road, and his life was transformed. And so he begins to follow Jesus, does some amazing things, but listen to what happened in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, pick it up in verse 24. This is Paul. His name went from Saul to Paul, and he's giving a little bit of a rundown of his life. This is talking about hard things, challenges. He says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. So you say, what is that? What does that mean? That doesn't make sense. Well, 40 lashes was considered a death sentence to somebody. So hitting somebody with this method of torture, 40 times was considered death. So they said, you know what we'll do? We'll take 40 minus 1, 39. That's how many times we can hit them and not think we killed them. So he's saying, this is what I experienced. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times, that's a different kind of stone. That means actually rock stoned. I know somebody was thinking about that. It was not legal back then. See, my mind sometimes gets sidetracked. All right, so once he was stoned by rocks, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robber, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles. So he was like danger from everybody, the Jews and the Gentiles, which is the whole world. Danger in the city, danger in the wilderness. So if I'm in the city, there's danger. If I'm out in the wilderness, in the countryside, there's danger. Danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. I don't know about you, but that's some hardship. Man, that's some adversity. That's some challenge. And if Paul didn't have some kind of anchor, didn't have some kind of resiliency built up, I'm guessing just one of these probably would have knocked him out of the game. Just 40 lashes minus 1, you'd be like, you know what? I'll go back to making tents. I'll go back to my history. I'll go back, but somehow Paul experiences all these things one after another, and these are just the things he lists. What we know about Paul is actually in his life after he encountered Jesus that between 5 and 6 years, total years of his life, he was in prison. 2.5 of which were actually in a real prison. The others were likely him on house arrest, okay? So this is a guy who knows hardship. He knows, like, I've got a dream of things happening and it not happening. I've got a plan and it doesn't go to plan. This is a guy who knows what it's like to go through hard things. And what's interesting about this is he's actually one of the most well-known Jesus followers that we have, right? Apart from the original 12, the disciples, Paul is widely known. And we look to a lot of his writing, actually. In the New Testament, Paul, by word count, wrote about 25, a quarter of the New Testament. That's pretty influential, right? Very influential. And we look to him in these amazing works, like the book of Romans, incredible, deep, deep theology. Or we look at Ephesians and Galatians and be like, how do we practically live out this faith that we've been given through Christ? He's all over the place. He's so amazing. And yet this man who knew God so well, who God used in amazing ways, he navigated much hardship. And we've been encouraging one another in this series to say, don't be surprised when you go through hard things. As much as I'd like to tell you, and as much as some people put out there, following Jesus doesn't mean everything is gonna go perfect for you. It doesn't. That you're gonna have plenty of money and that nobody's gonna not like you. And isn't it weird how we think that sometimes, especially in the West? Like somehow if I just follow Jesus, everything is gonna be great. And remember, when it means follow Jesus, what does that mean? It means to walk the way that he walked. And here's the thing about following Jesus. Where did Jesus end up? And follow Jesus, yeah, but his following the Father led to a cross. And so I don't like to fool people. I don't want people to think like, man, let me just try to sell you on this gospel that's not true. No, listen, following Jesus does not make everything perfect, but it does give you the one who is perfect peace that is in the midst of every storm. It does give us access to the one who is good, even when things around us aren't good. And he teaches us how we can navigate the storms of life, how we can navigate hard times. And this is really what this whole Bible was about. Men and women who resiliently followed God in the face of hard things and challenges. And that's good because all of our lives have those things in it. Social media, not so much. Social media, we just put our highlights. Everything's great, right? But in reality, we know life is hard. Life, things happen. And so we have a God who knows that. And he says, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you a word. I'm gonna give you these scriptures to actually teach you how to walk through hard things, right? And so Paul is one of those things. And so today I wanna talk about identity. And specifically, I wanna talk about how identity is critical to resiliency. Identity, how it is critical if we're gonna be a people that are able to navigate hard things, if we're a people that can navigate persecution, navigate disappointment, navigate darkness, that we have to have a clear understanding of identity. And you say, what is identity? Well, this guy that I really enjoy listening to named Bob Hamp, he used to be on staff at Gateway Church in Dallas with Robert Morris. He gives, a pretty good definition of what is identity. Your identity is the blueprint in the heart of God when he created you, by which he longs to reveal his nature uniquely on the earth. Your identity is the blueprint in the heart of God when he created you, when he knits you together. And that identity that you have, that's unique to you, is meant to reveal his nature, his image on the earth. That's why you and I are here, to reveal who God is. Do you know that? We are his image bearers. And as people encounter us, we are to reveal the God who made us and made them. This is our identity. It's this uniqueness. And I love Paul, and I see these hard things that he navigated. And here's what I know. I know Paul had a hope. Like we talked about this a few weeks ago, Paul had a hope. He actually said, man, we don't mourn like the world, we mourn with hope. So even when we have hard things, he has a hope, and we know that. That helped resiliency. Not only did he have hope, he also had community. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. He had brothers and sisters in the faith that encouraged him, that were there when hard things happened, and he was tied and connected in relationship. We also, as Winship talked about, we know that Paul had a clear understanding of the Holy Spirit and a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But I also want to put before you today, I think one of the main reasons why Paul was able to be such a resilient person is because he had an anchored understanding of his true identity. And I'm going to show you this. So Acts chapter 9, verse 15, and then I'm going to be in Romans chapter 15. So in Acts chapter 9 is actually where Paul, at the time Saul, he encounters Jesus on the road, and God goes to Ananias, another man, and says, I want you to go to Saul, and I want you to tell him who I am, and I want you to pray for him so that he can have sight again. And Ananias is like, man, I know what this guy's like. He kills people. He puts him in prison. I don't want to go there. And this is what God tells Ananias about Saul, who became Paul. He says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. This is God speaking identity over Saul at the time, who quickly after that became Paul. This is who he is. He's one who carries my name before the Gentiles. That's the first in that list, and so that's the priority, right? We're gonna see in a second, that's really became the priority of Paul, but also not just to them, but to kings and to the children of Israel. Really, what this is saying is he is to carry my name to all people, all kinds of people. And how many of you know Paul's word did just that? How many of you know there's kings that read the Bible that literally have read the words of Paul? There are Jews and Gentiles that have heard the words of Paul, and so his identity is true. Somebody say amen to that, right? This is God speaking identity. And then Paul, in his relationship with the Lord, is understanding, we get to Romans chapter 15, and this is his own recognition of his identity. Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 14, he says, I myself, this is Paul writing, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourself are full of goodness. Can we just stop there for a second? Do you see what that says? He's writing to a group of followers of Jesus, and he says, I know that you are full of goodness. How many of you know, we need to hear a little bit more of that. It's so easy to show up in church and say, you are trash, you are nothing, you are whatever. That's not what Paul says here. And as a church, man, we believe the world says that about people all the time. You don't need to hear that from God. Because actually when he sees you, he sees way more than you see. And so he would be aligned with Paul right here, which by the way, this is the scripture God breathed. He said, I see your goodness. How many of you know there's some goodness in people that God put in there? He created all the earth, and what did he say? It is what? It is good. It is good. And so Paul here, I love it. He says, I see that you are full of goodness. You're filled with knowledge and you're competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave to me. Look at this identity statement. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So that list that I read at the beginning, all the beatings, all the near-death experiences, all the ways that he was persecuted, I believe one of the ways that he was able to navigate all of these things and many more was because he had a clear understanding. He was anchored in who God called him to be. He had this identity. And this identity was that he was a carrier of God's name, or what he says here, that I'm a minister of Christ Jesus to the what? Gentiles. He started in the Jewish people. They didn't want to receive the message. And so then the identity became clear, which is what happens as progressively as we walk with the Lord. Identity becomes clear. He says, you know what? Actually, this is who I am. I'm a minister of the gospel to the Gentiles. This is who I am. This is an identity statement that Paul is making. So that means that when Paul went through hard things, when people didn't receive it, he didn't say, guess I'm not that. He said, you know what? No, I am this. The Lord has called me this. So even when people don't receive it, even when I end up on a ship out in the middle of sea and it goes awry and I'm out in the water, that I still am who God called me to be. And some of you just need to hear that. You need to hear this today right here, that God-given identity, it can't be stolen. Some of you need to hear that. Who God made you can't be stolen by anybody. Nobody can steal it from you. What God has placed in you can't be taken out of you. But here's what can happen, and if we're honest, this is what happens all the time. This is how the enemy, who his job is to steal, kill, and destroy, here is how he undermines us all the time. Listen to this. This is truth. It can be distorted, our identity. Yeah, it happens all the time. It can be covered up, or it can be rejected. Doesn't change the fact that God has given you an identity, that he's placed it in you, but we can do a lot of things with it. We can distort it. Man, Paul's identity was distorted. Man, he was taking his zealousness, his ferociousness for the Lord, and he was directing it at God's people, the followers of Jesus. How many know that was a twisted identity? It's like Moses. Moses, his identity was he was the deliverer, right? He was a just person. And unfortunately, that identity got twisted a little bit. It got distorted. And what did he do? He goes and kills somebody and he becomes a murderer. Yeah, this happens all the time. Just a tweak, a few degrees off. We distort the identity that God has given us, or we cover it up. Honestly, for many of us, when we think about who God made us to be, it scares us a little bit because it's like, oh man, I'm not worthy of that. There's no way I'm gonna do that. I'm not that. And so we try to cover it up. We try to downplay it. Or for many of us in the room, we know, we have a sense of it, but we reject it for lots of different reasons. Now, once again, that doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change who God made you to be, but it does change out the experience that you have with God. It changes how you reveal his image on the earth. See, this is what a false identity is. We talk about this a lot in this I Know class that I reference. It's happening on May 8th and May 15th. A false identity is simply this. It is a belief about oneself that does not align with God's perspective. A false identity is when I believe something, I come into agreement with something that isn't what God says about me. And so it can look a lot of different ways. It's when we say statements like, I am fill in the blank, right? We do this all the time, right? We unconsciously and consciously, I am blank. And so one of the ones that many of us in the room, if we were honest, the false identity is I am a failure. Even when I say that out loud, many of us are like, yes, I am a failure. Many of us, it's I am not enough. Here's one that I was praying with somebody just this week. They were dealing with a lot of depression, anxiety. And I asked them this question. I said, what lie are you believing about yourself that you know that God would not say? And this is what the person said, right? This is what they said. I am stupid. And because I'm stupid, I can't do my job. And so because I can't do my job, guess what? I'm depressed. And what's the enemy that's doing? They're saying, you're stupid. You're dumb. You're stupid. You know what? You're not capable of doing the job that you have. And this person's brilliant, like a college educated, brilliant career. And this person in this season is believing a lie. I am stupid. And then I said, okay, you're stupid. Now what lie does that lead you to believe? And that person was like, okay, I'm stupid. And here's what it is. I am a failure. This happened real quick. Just praying with him. I'm stupid. I'm a failure. And guess what? When I feel like I'm stupid and I'm a failure, guess where I am? I'm depressed. I'm down. My head is down. My posture is down. Everything about me is like, oh, here I am. Since COVID, this person's been navigating this. What is it? It's a false identity. Would God sit there and tell that person, you're stupid? Thank you for that. He wouldn't say that to you. You know why? Because if he said that, he'd be saying he's stupid. And you know what God doesn't also create? He doesn't create failures. You are an image bearer of God. Listen, you cannot be a failure. Guess what you can do? You can fail. This book is filled with men and women who we look up to that had tons of failures. Moses, the deliverer, murderer. David, king of Israel, amazing man, wrote the Psalms, adulterer, murderer. Abram, liar. Listen, we've got to differentiate the difference between I have failed and I'm a failure. They lead us to very different places. And so a false identity is anytime we believe something that God would not say about us. And how do we get these things? There's a lot of ways we get these things, but here are three ways that we adopt false identities. It's through life experience, through our internal or our self-talk, and from others. And here's the thing, I just want everybody to know, false identities are really easy to believe. So like this person I was praying with, they felt stupid, they felt like they were a failure. Here's what the enemy is so good at. He's so good at pointing at facts that support the narrative that he's trying to speak to us. You're a failure. Look at how you did this. Look at how you did this. And it takes no faith. You're like, yeah, man, I am a failure. I had a divorce, man. I'm a failure. I'm always gonna be a failure. Mm. Man, I filed bankruptcy. The enemy's there. You're a failure. It's because guess what? You'll never take a risk again. You'll never be the person God's called you to be because you're scared of doing it again. You're fearful that the past is gonna repeat itself. You're a failure. And guess what? It takes no faith. It's like, yep, you're right. I got a history of it. You're right. That's who I am. Or the self-talk, man, we are like, this is where we gotta take our thoughts captive. It's so easy for us to be critical of ourselves. Anybody else struggle with self-talk? And I just wanna be too honest here, right? Let's look around the room, all of us, man. Like, we struggle with this. Like, we mess up and it's immediately like you're beating yourself up. Like, I'm stupid, I'm a terrible person, I'm a terrible mom, I'm a what do you fill in the blank? And then the challenge about it, it's not just our own self-talk, it's so many people around us. We got coaches and teachers that are doing their best. We got friends and family, and honestly, sometimes our spouses are sometimes because they know us the best in the heat of arguments, they can actually support what the enemy is speaking more than they support what the Lord is speaking. Now, don't be saying that amen too loud if you're sitting beside your spouse now. Don't be, we got a marriage help in a little bit later, right? Don't be doing that. But if we're honest, like, don't be nudging your spouse, but it's true. Like when we know each other intimately, we can easily put our finger on something that is a pain point, and we can say, remember all the times that you failed? Now, I know that doesn't hit home for anybody. I know all of your marriages, you move on from things that happened 10 years ago. I know that, right? They're close to ministry time at the end here. Just playing with you. But isn't that so true? Like the people we love the most and love us the most are oftentimes the ones that support the enemy the most with their words. And so we've got to take these things captive. What are we believing? What false identities are we coming into agreement with? Because false identities don't have any power. You need to hear this. When the enemy speaks, he has no power. He has been defeated. Do we know that? When in the death and resurrection of Christ, he said he has robbed hell. There's no more power unless we come into agreement with the liar. And so there is no power in a false identity. There's no power in somebody speaking over me unless I say, you know what? I think they're right. And usually what happens is we try to prove them wrong because we actually think they're right. See, I'm telling you, this identity stuff, it's all throughout the Bible. And it's so powerful, and we see this, and we need to be honest about it. But knowing our true identity, it gives us something. It gives us an anchor during a storm. There can be difficulty. There can be pressure. But there's a much deeper truth that's keeping us steady. When we know who we are, there is an inherent resiliency about how we live our lives. And so for me personally, my identity in the kingdom is transformational pathblazer. That's who I am in the kingdom. That's who I always have been. Before I was ever a pastor, I would lead organizations into new territory. I would take new territory. I would lead into new ways the company wanted to go, whether it was in revenue or whether it was in culture. And so now as a pastor, my identity, who I am, is to be a pathblazer, to go to places that people haven't gone yet, to be the first to go in, and then to make a way so that many people can follow to go into the new place. That's who I am. And because I know who I am, here's a couple good things about identity. When I know my identity, Derek, I'm a path blazer. When I'm presented with opportunities that are before me, they're like, that sounds pretty good. My first question is, does that require somebody who's a transformational path blazer? And if it doesn't, no matter how good it looks, guess what I can say? No, thank you. It's not who I am. I'm telling you, some of us just need to, if you knew who you were, you'd have a lot more clarity in what you're called to do. You want to be chasing money? You want to be chasing power? You would know who you are, and it would be a filter to say, should I do it or not? And so then when I see, okay, there is a transformational path blazer needed there, and I step into it, I know that as I lead, there's going to be hard things. It's hard to move a community or an organization into a new direction, into places they've never been. It is challenging. And so when things happen, like when COVID happened, and in the same week, I had people that hated me for having church, and some people said, we should be wide open. Some people that said, yeah, amen, again, I like this. Some people said, you should wear a mask. Some people said, why would you ever wear a mask? When we're in political conflict, they said, man, we should get up there and preach Republican, and then I got other people that say, man, we should get up there and preach Democrats. Guess what? I know who I am. And I can keep stepping with who God's called me to be. And guess what? It gives me a resiliency. Even when things don't go the way I want them to go, because they don't always go the way I want them to go. But there's an identity, there's a knowing. And this is what Paul is getting to in lots of his writing. And I'm just gonna point you to one passage here. This is how he kind of sums up this identity statement in Romans chapter 8. This is the last passage I'm gonna be at. We're gonna sing one more song. But Romans chapter 8, let me read to you. This is Paul's writing to the church of Rome. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's an identity statement, isn't it? If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are a son or a daughter of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery. Hear that. You are not a slave to fear. You may be operating in fear. You may be giving yourself to fear. You may be agreeing with fear, but listen, it is a mirage. It is not true. You are not a slave to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters. You've received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Father himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of the simple truths. Like, I do believe that there is a uniqueness and that God created us and he formed each one of us into the image of God. That it's like the old saying, you know, like a snowflake's unique, so are you. And that sounds like a little fruity, a little hot, you know, but it's true. Like, you're the only person that can reveal God the way that he wanted to reveal on the earth. You are unique. You are an image bearer of God. But as we step into this right relationship through Christ, there's some things that are true about us that are true across the board. No matter what your unique identity is, we have this identity in Christ that changes everything. And so this morning, I just want to remind you of some things that you are. And some of us, you need to just change your mind. You need to repent this morning because you're believing some lies about who you are. And so the list that I'm going to show you is not a maybe this is who you are. It's not a man, I messed up last night. That doesn't apply. No. That's not how God works. It's by grace so that you can't boast about it. Nobody here can boast about it. It's by grace. It's his mercy. And he gives definition. Fathers give identity. This is what God says about us. I'm going to read them slowly, and I want you to sit in each one. If there's one that you're like, man, I don't believe that, I think that's an invitation of the Lord to say, will you trust me? So here's the list here. All from the scriptures. This isn't Derek's, you know, feel good about yourself message. It's not a feel good self-help message. This is what the word of God says about each and every single person that follows Jesus. I am loved. You're like, but, no, there's no but. You are loved. I am valued. Immense value to God that can never change. I am forgiven. Past, present, future. The cross covers it all. I am worthy. He calls you worthy, not me. He calls you worthy. I am enough. I am one with God. In Christ in me. I am not alone. Jesus said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. You'll never be alone. You may feel alone. You may feel like all the people you have stranded you, but Jesus knows what that's like. And even in that moment, he wasn't alone because he yielded his spirit to the Father. You are never alone. You are blessed. You are God's dwelling place. I am more than a conqueror. I am an ambassador of Christ. I am a child of God. I'm desired by God. Some of you just need to sit in that one for a second, that God actually desires you. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, as Paul writes to the Ephesians. And this one's amazing. I am fully equipped for life and godliness. Whatever you're dealing with today, God says, listen, you have enough because you are enough because I am in you and you are in me. You have what it takes to do all that I've called you to. I am. And so, Lord, this morning, as we opened up your word, as we sang, as we've prayed, Lord, I just felt like this morning you wanted to divide truth and false. And so, Lord, even as we are here finishing up the day, Lord, I pray you would rightly divide and let us see what is true and what is false about who you say we are, the false identities, the false things that we believe about ourselves, Lord. We just say we want to see, we want to know, is there anything we're believing wrongly? And then we want to come in agreement with you and what your truth is, because it does set us free. Lord, thank you for the men and women of the scriptures, that they were normal people just like us, and that they had their ups and their downs. They navigated good days and really hard days, and they were resilient, and you're teaching us how to be a resilient people, to be a people that are tethered to Jesus, that are filled with your spirit, that navigate hard things. Lord, continually teach us to trust what you say above every other voice. Set us free from the lies, the accusations, the deception of the enemy. And may we walk in our true identity. Amen.